You're listening to the Premier Podcast Network.
Mind of the Meanie is now an exclusive brand partner with WWEShop.com. Pick up all your favorite new merchandise from Roman Reigns.
Acknowledge me.
Cody Rhodes.
I have to finish the story.
LA Knight.
Let me talk to you.
And more using our exclusive link in the show notes. Click below and show your support today for your favorite WWE superstar at WWEShop.com.
Yeah!
This is the Mind of the Meanie. Here are your hosts, the Blue Meanie and Adam Barnard.
Peace, world, and welcome to the Mind of the Meanie, your weekly peek into the world, according to former WWE superstar and ECW original, the Blue Meanie. We'll cover wrestling, music, movies, sports, and lots of useless knowledge, all contained in the Mind of the Meanie. I'm your tour guide, a fully voiced Adam Barnard, and he is the Blue Meanie. Meanie, how is your voice, and what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm kind of human.
Yeah.
Kind of human.
Listen.
Dude, I've been sick for like a fucking month, it feels like, since Mania week. Yeah. Now, and I knew I was going to get sick,
yeah.
You know, because you talk that much and you're around that many people and you're dealing with money,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, and no sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, I'm feeling half fucking normal. I can actually swallow and not wince.
Yeah.
You know, like my throat was on fucking fire, coughing. I actually went through a whole bag of cough drops, which is like, it's like unheard of. Like I could buy an 80 count bag of Lemon Halls and still have them like 2 years later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always buy the big bag because I'm an asshole, but I don't need that many, but it's such a bargain. Yeah, but yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Knock on wood. on my old noggin. But I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm better, man. Honestly, like I don't want to say 100% because I feel like when I say that, that's when like COVID shows up or something awful happens. Yeah. You know, stomach
fucking
bug.
Jinx.
Fucking looking like Jeff Daniels and Dumb and Dumber lifting myself up off the toilet. No, I'm good, man. I went after we recorded.
That's
last,
my everyday.
I mean, look, fair. Also me too. Like that is, you just, there are, like, I know how my body reacts and I should not have those things in the morning. Like the things that lead me to explosive colon cleansing. But it does, and every day I'm running into the bathroom at work. So, apologies to my colleagues at work. But, no, I get to I went to the doctor after we recorded last week, or the Minute Clinic, and they were like, oh, yeah, you were just here. We remember you. And they were like, yeah, this is the same thing you had before, and it just came back. And they were like, we don't think it was strep, but they should have given you something stronger. So they gave me Augmentin this time, and now I got to go see a fucking ENT because there's something wrong with my ears. And so, yeah, it's, you know, the pink eye, whatever, or whatever that fucking shit was in my eyes is gone now. I still have my eye drops here, which is nice, which you can actually see if you're here with us at patreon.com/mindoftheMeanie. Tiers start at just $10 a month, so come and join us. So I have them still, which I don't really need them, but I'm feeling better, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's nice. But what else is nice, sir? Is it the fucking Pod Squad is here with us tonight? We got Machete, we got Lucha, we got Nate in the chat. Baba Booey to you, sir, as well.
Baba Booey to you.
And we are here and rocking on this.
A Baba Booey is a Baba Booey.
Baba Booey, fla fla, flea flow.
Dude, I have the distinct pleasure of being worked into two phony phone calls on Howard Stern under my real name. And the Blue Meanie name. So,
I'm so jealous. That is nothing cooler. Nothing.
I'm friends with Richard and Sal. And the first one, they were, yeah, hey, that's my favorite. I shit my King of the Hill underwear. That's so gross. He talked on the air about how he shit his favorite pair. I don't know if it's King of the Hill. It might have been King of Hill, but he shit his pants and ruined them. And, you know, Mrs. Meany got him a new pair of boxers for Christmas.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I'm friends with him and Sal. Mm-hmm. And they were fucking with Riley Martin. And they're like, hey, we want to do, a shout out to the people who work at Sirius. You know, they're working hard, you know, people behind the scenes. And they're doing the Bart Simpson thing where they're working in like dirty names. But they were like, yeah, we got working a couple of real names to throw them off the scent.
Yeah.
So like the one was like, to Brian Heffron in the mailroom, you know. But then again, then Richard called into a wrestling show that was streaming or whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's all about the wrestling. I loved it when it was, and he started naming off all these wrestlers like in alphabetical order. And like they would pause and he's like, and he'd come back and he'd just pick up where he left off. He'd be like, Bob Backlund, Blue Meany. So, yeah, I've been mentioned twice on the Howard Stern Show. Mm. So, Baba Booey to y'all.
Man, I know. I've been to the Stern Show. Like I said, I was there the day that Courtney Love unexpectedly showed up. And she showed up in what appeared to be a curtain, like a cloth curtain that someone had smoked cigarettes in front of for about 2 years. It was so yellow. She had the shawl around her head. She had a dead rose, no shoes on. And she was very clearly inebriated on something. What it was, I don't know, because I don't want to speculate, because that's not what we do here, sir. But it definitely, if I were a betting man, I would say she was on something. And that was a wild
experience. I have an anti-foot fetish, so I'm out on the bare feet. I'm like, ugh. Put some shoes on, you fucking dirt.
Her feet were fucking filthy, too. My first thought was like, why are you walking around New York City without shoes on? Like, this is like just shortly after 9/11, nonetheless. Like, also, too, it's New York City. What are you doing? Like, you're on the fucking, it's a K-Rock. It's not even at the Sirius studio. Like, this place is gnarly looking. And, she was gross, man. I know Artie was drunk, too. Artie was fucked up. He had lost a shit ton of money the night before gambling. I think it was on the NCAA brackets or something along those lines. And he was super fucked up.
Fuck you, fat Artie.
Fuck you, fat Artie.
Hi, Fred.
I actually had the distinction. I know I've mentioned this, but I had the distinction of Fred Norris said hello to me. How you doing, kid? When he walked by. And then when he walked back again, he said, enjoy the show. And I remember calling my mom and being like, oh, I just, you know, everybody said, you know, talking to me. And Fred said, hey, and how you doing, kid? And she was like, what do you mean, Fred? Fred doesn't talk to anybody. I was like, well, he talked to me. I was just standing there. Yeah.
Fred's an alien.
Listen, I'm a weirdo.
From Mars.
I'm a weirdo too. So he probably got the hint on that. And he was like, oh, I got to say hi to this guy. But no, it's a dope time, man. It was actually, I know we don't do.
Real recognizes real.
Well, that's true. It is true. That is very true. Fred is, if you're not familiar, the uninitiated, if you've never listened to the Howard Stern Show, Fred is like, he's like the computer brains behind that operation.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime Howard or Robin or anybody or Artie was on the show, they were talking about something. Fred had like computing level speed, like a CPU kind of processing speed where he was
AI before AI.
He really was. And the impressions and stuff and the sound bits that you hear. So I don't know how he does it. I would love to know his shtick, but I mean, almost immediately he pulls that up and it's right there and it's the sound that comes up and like just unbelievable guy. But it was a really cool time. It was a lot of fun. But again, I know we don't, you know, we're not talking politics here, but if you want to listen to a masterclass conversation interview, listen to the one that Howard Stern just did with Joe Biden recently. Howard is a shtick kind of guy, right? Like he's, you know, he does his thing.
He's a great conversationalist.
Yes. And it was, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, but it was like engaging, enthralling, and incredibly well done. So if you haven't listened to it, please try to go out of your way to check it out.
It's funny you bring it up because I've been, I got the Sirius app and I punish myself like the, Like I love his interviews, but I have to have the video version.
Oh, okay.
Like they'll put up the interview audio first, and like maybe a week later they'll do the fucking video.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been waiting for this fucking Pearl Jam because Pearl Jam was on.
Oh, that's right. They were on like right before Joe was on. Yeah.
And I was like, I could listen to this now, or I can suffer and wait for the fucking video version. Because they'll put out clips.
Yeah.
And Dougie McCusker from McCusker sent me a still from one of the clips where Stone Gossard, the real Stone Gossard, had a chair from the Spectrum. And they did it like live via satellite from wherever the rehearsal space was.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And he has like him and I forget who was right next to him. Had Philadelphia Spectrum chairs, which is pretty cool. So I was like, well, now I got to wait for the full video version. But like me and Mrs. Meany just watched the interview with Hart.
Yeah.
And they did an interview with the Black Crowes, which I really enjoyed. So mm-hmm. Howard's the master of the interview, because one of his little tricks is... And he'll do this. He'll ask you a question, but purposely ask it in the wrong way. Like he'll purposely get a detail wrong.
Yeah.
So the person being asked the question feels the urge to, oh no, this is what really happened. Mm-hmm. And then he gets the stuff out of them that they normally probably wouldn't have talked about.
Yeah.
Otherwise. And it's fucking brilliant.
It is, and like I even when I do my own interviews and conversations, like I try to, I've always tried to model myself after like the greats, right? At least who I think are the greats: Howard Stern, Jon Stewart, Keith Olbermann, like the people that I study who do this on a professional level, right? And there's just nobody who does it like Stern, and it's incredible to watch him get those things, because most, like everybody who comes on Stern, they know what they're getting themselves into, right? Like they know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
They know his shtick. They know what he's about. But the fact that the president of the United States came on his show, like it was a Friday. Yeah. He never does Friday shows anymore. And he had to fly to New York to go to the studio to do it with Biden. That says something about you again, politics aside, like that says something about you as an entertainer and an interviewer, and the fact that, you know, he trusted Howard to tell that part of his story and to have these conversations. I just thought it was amazing. So if you're looking, again, if you're listening and you're looking to hear really a masterclass in interviewing, go check that out. And I know I will say too that they rushed that video out of that Biden interview, so it is up on the Sirius app. So it was fantastic. But I'm trying to think of what else I was going to say to you, because I got wrapped up in Howard there, but there was something else.
The wrap up show.
Yeah. Well, John Hines not on it anymore, is he? I think he's. I don't think he's.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to the wrap up show in so long. It's crazy.
Listen, we'll put Sirius over. You guys have busted open Nation fans.
Oh yeah.
You guys at Fight Nation. You guys let them know. You got two brawling dudes here who would love to entertain you on satellite radio. But
Busted Open is the second highest streamed thing on the network behind Howard.
It's crazy. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Fucking amazing.
Man, they're
I love
good.
LaGreca. I love those guys.
They're good at what they do too. Like they're really like, you know, I love all of them, but there's something about the dynamic between Bubba Ray and fucking Dave LaGreca that is just hilarious. So, no, they're great guys. And I love tuning into their show whenever I can. I think it's Fight Nation 156. But you know, how are things in the blue world? Everything is good over in your end. What else is going on over there?
Dude, just trying to fucking get back my health back and just chilling with Mrs. Meany. Finally posted the videos from our surprise marriage.
Yes, yeah.
I don't want to call it a wedding.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it really wasn't a wedding, you know, but it was a what do you call that? Like a guerrilla wedding, you know, we just fucking ran in, did it, and ran out, you know, just run and gun. But, yeah, it was pretty cool to see the footage. The only thing that stinks is like the fact that it was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people didn't get my early part of the promo. Yeah, you because know, I was like, hey, you know, welcome, you know, to Meanie Mania. It means a lot to you're all here, and you know, and then I was like, you know, I got here's Mrs. Meanie, you know, for the last 18 years, you know, I've called her my wife, even though she's just my girlfriend, but that changes right here, right now, and. That's where the video picks up after I do the right here, right now. And
yeah.
So I wish I could have had the initial promo because, like, to watch the people, they respond in waves, you know? Like, it's like, oh, Meanie's welcome to this thing. Oh, is he about to propose? Oh, they got rings. Oh, this is a fucking wedding. So it's just... It was cool to watch them react in, you know, waves and stuff like that. So
that's funny.
I put it up on my Instagram. There's two versions, one from like right up front and then one from the back of the room. And you get to see like how many people were there. The place was fucking packed.
It really was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, front to back, every side was just, it was amazing. I think is what the only word that could really come up with was just the fact that it was so cool to see so many people come out for an event for you. You know, like that's really what it was.
On a Thursday, no less, you know?
What's that?
On a Thursday, no less.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like it was just, it made my heart happy. And I was like, that's fucking great. No, I enjoyed watching the videos. I wish if I had, like I said, if I had made it there, I think I was like 10 to 15 minutes behind, whatever it was. I would have tried to film as much as I can for it. But now if you get a chance, go and check out Meanie's social media pages. The videos are there to take a look at and go from there. So did you get a chance to, I'm trying to think of where else we could go. Did you get a chance to take a look at anything WWE draft related? And I wanted to know, since we're a wrestling show, if you had, well, sort of a wrestling show, more sports, but if you had a chance to take a look at any of the draft and what your thought was on that.
Unfortunately, no. To me, the wrestling draft is just so fucking hokey. It's just, you know, I was more invested in the NFL draft than the WWE draft. You know, it's just,
yeah.
And you know, I guess my one hang up is like, I might have said this last week too, but like. You know, like say SmackDown goes to draft somebody. Oh, the SmackDown has drafted so and so. Well, so and so's already on SmackDown. So he didn't pack a bag. He didn't even leave the fucking building. But you're can they, you know, just switch the verbiage to SmackDown retains so and so from, you know, whatever. But one day they need to. Here's the thing. I'm hoping for, you know, dude, if there's somehow MJF was like looking to jump ship from AEW to WWE, imagine on draft night, they draft.
Oh, shit.
You know, they come to the podium to SmackDown drafts and they look at the card, look up, look at the person next to them, look up, look down back at the card, look back up and go, SmackDown drafts MJF. Crowd would fucking.
Yeah, dude.
Because, like, the whole thing with, you know, debuting people, it's like, okay, you'll make your debut at the Rumble. You know? Yeah. Like, AJ Styles debuted at the Rumble. Imagine if AJ Styles debuted, you know, during the draft. You know, just like, I wish they would do more stuff with the draft to make it a little bit more interesting, you know?
Well, it also adds the legitimacy factor to that. You know what I mean? Like, imagine, like, Monday Night Raw. And it's got to be, like, as you were thinking about, I was picturing this idea. And it should be totally, like, the people who are giving the news shouldn't be clued in until the moment they open that card. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't have a clue what's in there. And until they open it, they see it, you know, Monday Night Raw drafts Kenny Omega, you know, like, and it should be an absolute shock to everybody. Like, holy shit, you know? So
kind of like the Grammys when you, and the winner is
right. That's That's, yeah. I mean, like I said, I feel like there's a lot of discourse online about this stuff all the time where they were like, oh, it's so boring and it's this and it's that. And it's like, well, like, also to like, I get it, but like, also, what did you expect from this? Like, they already kind of rolled out the news that the champions weren't leaving. They were all staying put. The women's tag team titles were getting moved. So like, I don't know, you came into it kind of having an idea of what it was going to be. And you're like, all right, well, they might do some movement here and there, but like, I don't know. The draft back in the day, like the first one, I feel like was the shocking one, right? Because they split the Dudley Boys and people didn't really know where they were going. And like, I think that was kind of the money move there. But I don't know. How did you think about the NFL draft? I know we were still kind of in the throes with it when we were talking last week. What did you feel like? How did you feel with the results after that?
I think the Eagles won the draft, basically. They got, two first round quality fucking cornerbacks in the first two rounds, with Cooper DeJean, which, everybody's going to be calling Cooper DeJean.
I was just going to say that. I think that's the name. Yeah. That's the name of the episode right there.
Cooper DeJean. And I'm who's the first guy they took from Toledo State? Let me see.
I'm going to message Matt from Dover right now. Because I can't remember his name.
2 seconds. Eagles draft. Da, 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 da. I sound like such a...
Yeah, Matt from Dover is like, he's our Fred Norris, really. He's the guy that will just spit that shit right back out at you. And you're like, how did you remember that? He was like, oh, I don't know. I just had it in my head. Like, Jesus, man. Just fucking...
Oh, yeah. Kenyon Mitchell.
That's it. That's his fucking
name. From Toledo. A dude comes from a small market school, and, bigger schools try to draft him and, get him to jump ship, and he stayed loyal to Toledo, a smaller market school, and paid off. And, the Eagles... The worry was that the Eagles were going to have to trade to move up and get him. But, like, the first 15 picks were mainly defense, and like he just kind of like fell into their lap. And then, they go to the second round the next day, and fucking Cooper DeJean is still available, which it was believed he was going to go in the first round as well. So, the Eagles tackled two needs.
Yeah.
Position of needs. That's the look I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for. Position of needs. Because last year their safeties and the cornerbacks were just getting fucking torched. So you get these two guys, plus you still got Slay. I think Bradbury's probably gonna get cut or traded at, post June 1st. See what happens there.
Yeah.
And then and then they just like moved all over the place too. And they tied some record or broke some record for the most, moves to trade around the draft where, they drafted in the first two rounds and then, they go all the way down to, Jalex Hunt, who was, the defensive player. Howie Roseman calls him on the phone to draft him, and he's like, "What's up, Big Pimpin?" The fucking Howie Roseman. The Howie Roseman just like froze, like, "Oh, what?"
That's funny.
But the pick of the draft, which everybody was waiting for, was the last pick. The Eagles took, which was Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
I was just going to bring that up. That's Jeremiah Trotter, who is considered by many to be the best middle linebacker in Eagles history, number 54.
Yeah.
And his son gets picked up, which is crazy. Like, just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think last week when we were talking, we were hoping, they were going to take him, and then they took him.
Yep.
And won't lie, I kind of got a little weepy about it, just because. And then you watch the video, because they released the videos of Howie, calling the different players and Howie calls, you know, he's like, get Jeremiah Trotter on the fucking phone right now.
Say, get him on the fucking phone. Yeah.
Calls him. And then Jeffrey Lurie gets on there. You know, he's like, you know, how old were you when we met? He's like three. Three or 4 years
crazy.
Old. You know, and then, you know, he's like, you know, Howie says, you know, to Junior, I love your father. And, you know, I love your mother, too, who, you know, they're, you know, Jeremiah's mom just passed, you know, in February. So, dude, fucking made me want to fucking cry. Yeah. Well, I kind of did, but, you know, I love stories like that. And here's the thing. It's like, it was the last pick of the draft.
Yeah.
A low-pressure situation to bring in a legacy player who I think is going to play, you know, extremely well.
Yeah.
You know, so Eagles definitely got a steal, and somehow they wound up turning in this year's drafts into, you know, extra third round picks next year. And I forget they got a couple draft picks for next year where you're like, holy shit, they got like what, two third round picks. It's going to be amazing. So, I think the Eagles won this draft. You know, they got everything they needed, and, I love football and I love summer, but I hate the fact that my love for football makes summer fly by so quick because I want to watch football. You know?
Yep.
But, you know, the NFL is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Their marketing is second to none. You know, they've turned the draft into an event, and their next event is going to be when they announce the schedule release. In May, like later this month, I believe it is.
Oh, no shit.
Where, like, they slowly start leaking out games and stuff like that. And then they, you know, release all 32 fucking schedules for the season. And then, you know, people start, you know, doing their, you know, fantasy. Okay, what games are my team's going to win and stuff like that. So. And of course, the Eagles, you know, kick off, you know, to play the first game of the season, to being the first team to ever play in Brazil.
Wow.
You know, which is going to be amazing.
Crazy.
Now, it's amazing to me, but, like, you know, Eagles fans are like, oh, that's one last game at home. I'm like, whatever. You know, you're just mad because there's one last game for you to fucking tailgate at.
Too, like, Brazil, dude.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Dude, I would...
Come on, man.
I'd love to go, but
I just
that's a, like, long flight.
That is a long flight, but I've heard it's beautiful and lots of amazing sights there well. Yeah. But I was really kind of like emotional about the Trotter pick as well. I thought that was a great video and a great video package, and I hope he does well. I really do. I hope it works out for him, and I hope it's a great season. But speaking of seasons, I have a question for you, and it's not the fun question we asked. This is a different question because I'm very confused by this shit, and I need the blue brain up here to help me decipher it. So you mean to tell me that the Philadelphia Phillies, the Fightins, if you will, have the most wins in the in the MLB or in their their division?
As far as I know, they're the most wins in baseball right now.
But they're not number one in their division. They're number two.
Right.
How, Sway? How does that work?
Because they have more losses than the Braves, which leads me to believe that something had to be screwed up, like maybe a game was rained out or something. So once, you know, whoever's games catch up, There's something off in the fucking universe here. I don't know how the Phillies have, you know, the most wins in baseball and they're not number one. But
I have no idea. I have no idea how that works. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. They have the most wins in the fucking league. The most wins. Yep. And they're
more losses than the Braves.
But
so
how, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do they have more losses? Like, there had to have been a rain delay. Like you said, there had to be somebody. Even still, it doesn't make any sense.
Like some game had to be postponed or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
That is crazy.
It's bizarre.
how does this shit happen?
Yeah.
You know, Meanie?
What's that, Adam?
We hear this a lot. Every CBD company tells you that their product is the best. With quality control measures like lab testing and QR codes now becoming the standard, it can start to seem like all CBD brands are the same, but I'm here to tell you something, Meanie. They are not. Knowing what makes certain brands better will help you spend your money more wisely and have more confidence as you incorporate CBD oils, topicals, capsules, or gummies into your own wellness routine. And that's why we're proud to partner with Green Road CBD as an official sponsor of Mind of the Meanie. And Meanie, I know you're a longtime user of Green Road CBD. How has Green Road CBD helped you in your life?
Let me tell you, Green Road CBD is a product I've been using for years. And when we started Mind of the Meanie, I always was like, let's get Green Roads as a sponsor, because I use them almost daily, whether it's the gummies, you know, to take care of the aches and pains of 30 years of wrestling, the topical solutions that help my knees, help my back, help my elbows, help my shoulders. Green Road CBD has done everything to help me maintain a pain-free existence from all the years of wear and tear as a professional wrestler.
And to me, Meanie, that sounds like the Green Road's difference. And it comes down to a really few important points. They're just part of the reason that they've won industry awards year after year, earned thousands of five-star reviews, and have heard countless stories from customers just like you about the impact that those products have had on your life. So Green Roads is led by a compounding pharmacist with 25 years of experience helping her community getting healthy. For her and the entire company, it's more than just a job. It's a mission. And not all hemp sourcing is equal, Meanie. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But they select their hemp from high-quality American farms. And also, not all lab testing is equal, which is why they use an accredited independent lab to conduct full panel tests on every single batch. And that's why Green Roads is an original manufacturer, not just a quote-unquote white label brand. So right now, you can go to greenroads.com, Meanie, and save 25% off of your entire purchase.
Wow.
25% off of everything, Meanie. That's huge. And all you have to do is go to their website right now, greenroads.com, and use promo code Meanie at checkout. That's 25% off your entire purchase by using promo code Meanie at greenroads.com. Own the day with Green Road CBD, and we thank them for sponsoring the program. Let me ask you a question. I know there's a lot of kickback from people about the idea of interleague play and how they feel like that ruined, you know, sort of the prestige in some way of the World Series and just baseball in general. How do you feel about the interleague play? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't like it. I miss the days where the National League played the National League and the American League played the American League, because when they got to the World Series, you're seeing a matchup that's never been seen before, you know?
Right.
And, you know, to see them in, you know, during the season, it's like, you know, I get it. You need the more interesting matchups because there's 162 games, you know, and there's, you know, I forget how many teams. I think there's 32 teams. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But, yeah, it kind of sucks to see, you know, American League versus National League. You know, in baseball, but you know they do it in football now too. So, well, they've always done it in football. You know, NFC versus AFC games, but
yeah,
it's just weird. It's weird, but then again, both have the the cool thing about, you know, when it would be American League versus National League, you know, American League had the designated hitter and National League didn't.
It's true.
Where, like, if an American League team went to a National League city, they had the batter had to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Where now, you know, they have a designated hitter in all baseball, so they're all basically the same rules, and there's nothing unique. So,
yeah,
I get it. You know, they want to have more unique, matchups and stuff like that, but. You know, I am one of those people that, you know, really wish, you know, American League played American League and National League played National League.
Well, right. And that's maybe a traditionalist approach for me, too, with that. Like, now, let me ask you a question, too, because it's been a while since I remember studying this. I just always knew that, you know, AL had the DH and the NL didn't. What was the reason why the National League didn't have the designated hitter? Was that, you know, for sure?
Not, I do not know.
I can't.
I'm sure I've heard, but I don't remember.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done, like, made that more streamlined across baseball. If they were just like, yeah, we're going to do a DH across the board, right? Like, just, we're going to bring it into the National League, work it in. I feel like that would have been a better approach for this as opposed to doing the interleague play. I'm not big on it. I don't, you know, again, it's like you said, there's something exciting about watching the best team from the AL play the best team from the NL once a season, you know? And like, yeah. I don't know, man, it takes some of the luster off of it for me, but,
it definitely does.
Yeah. But listen, it's good to know that Angel Hernandez still has his fucking job.
I don't know. How can you... I know why he still has his job, but how can you suck so bad at your job that you're constantly mocked?
Mm-hmm.
And you can still go out there and smile, collect a fucking paycheck. But, he still has a job because it's a union job.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why. That's the only reason he's protected by the union, which, you know... I am waiting the day he retires because I can't even. We've talked about before. It's like, you know, how many fucking. It just drives me nuts. Like, how many fucking outcomes of baseball games since he's been an umpire in the league have been. And seasons have been completely fucking altered because this jackoff can't fucking call a pitch correctly. It's ridiculous, man. Dude,
you gotta wonder. I think we've said this before. It makes you wonder, like, if. He's got to be on a take, right? You
know, he's got to be, dude. He's got to be dirty.
One of my favorite videos out there is Philly Captain. Shout out to Philly Captain.
Yeah.
He was outside Scissors Bank Park, and Angel Hernandez pulls out. He goes, boo! Angel Hernandez, you stink, and I don't like you.
I'm going to get that sound clip and put it on the board.
You stink, and I don't like you.
It's so good, man. That was a fucking great video. And it's the truth, though, man. I don't know. He's the shits, man.
He's the drizzling shits.
Seriously. No, I'm excited. It's going to be a good season, and we're revving up for it. I'm overdue for a trip to Cooperstown, too. I really feel like I haven't been there since the 90s. I need to get back up there and take a look at it, but...
It's crazy. I've never been there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's cool, man. From what I remember, it's pretty... I mean, like I said, it was almost 30... Actually, fuck, it was 30 years ago. Holy shit.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was 93 or 94 when we went. I think it was around that time. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to going back up there and taking a look. But Vanessa from the Pod Squad says, it's Enrique Palazzo.
Hello, Vanessa. It's Enrico Palazzo.
That's a great reference right there.
Fucking, what's his name? Leslie Nielsen. He's a better umpire than Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
I'm trying to find that fucking Angel Hernandez sound clip. It's driving me nuts. But
I was going to say, I'm gonna pull it up after the show or this weekend. I'm going to clip it and we'll put it on the soundboard so that way we have it at access every time we need it. I gotta try to find the Blue Meanie from the mailroom or Brian Heffron in the mailroom clip too.
Brian Heffron from the mailroom. It's gotta be on YouTube.
I'm sure. You know? I was thinking about, well, you just mentioned Leslie Nielsen. Did you hear that they're rebooting The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as the title character? I was a little concerned at first when I heard they were rebooting the movie franchise, but then I heard Liam Neeson and I'm like, all right, I'm sold. Sold on this.
Dude, you know, because, I mean, Leslie Nielsen was a serious actor back in the day. And then the airplane movies kind of put him in this whole other stratosphere with the parody movies. But Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
That's got me intrigued.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, like, it's like I feel like since Taken, he's been kind of typecast as the, you know, the guy that just shows up and kills people because somebody took his dog or something, you know? And, I feel like this would be a really cool, like, I don't want to say like second or third act, but like, it'll be a cool chapter to see in his career, how funny he can go. And I'm sure, like, especially for someone like him, I would imagine being in all those movies, the serious flicks, you're like, oh, fucking A, I get to do a really good slapstick comedy movie. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
So
I have a particular set of skills. I will find you and I will kill you.
Man, dude. That first Taken flick, man, when they fucking that was next level, bro. That was good shit.
Dude, how do you lose her three times? It's like, oh, come on, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, dude.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know if that's what the plot of this other two movies are, but
I can't. I think the second one was I never watched the sequels of those kinds of movies.
Me neither.
I haven't even watched the sequel to Anchorman. I'm like, Anchorman has such a special place for me in my movie fandom. I don't want to sully it with watching something that is in any way, shape, or form subpar. So I've just skipped it. And
you're better. You're fortunate that you didn't see Anchorman 2.
Why is that necessary? Why do we do this, guys? Why do we do this?
They put out Anchorman came out, and then Best Buy put out a bonus DVD called Good Morning, Ron Burgundy, which was Anchorman, but with a different plot point.
Yeah.
A different scene, like all the outtakes and stuff like that. They made a whole entirely different movie. With a lot of the same stuff, but like, yeah. It's like, that was better than Anchorman 2.
Mm-hmm. I remember, you know? Good Morning, Ron Burgundy. It was like, they had some kind of like subplot that they didn't use for the movie, and it ended up like you said, it just became its own independent flick, which...
Yeah, there's like a bank robbery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just... Ron, are you paying attention? Nope.
Nope. I would like to invite you to the pants party. The what? The what, Brick? The pants party in the pants? Pants party. Did it put you up to this? That's what we used to do, folks, before memes were a thing. Yeah. Guys used to stand around in a circle, and we'd quote Anchorman and Borat at each other. And we would just yell
my
things.
My wife.
My wife! Courtney's going to hear this, and she's going to be fucking She hates it, dude. She's like, that makes my blood boil. Don't do that. I was like, I'll fucking do it every chance I get. So now that she's away in New York this week for her art show. And
yeah.
So now every time she calls, I don't care where she's at. Like, she'll probably have me on speakerphone when she's putting her art and stuff up. It's my wife. And she's like, please. Please don't do that.
That should be your text tone from her. And she texts you. Your phone's just going to go, my wife. To the point where your kids start quoting it, mm-hmm. and then they're in on a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Then that's the goal, though. The goal of fatherhood for me is to just get them involved in every single, like.
Imagine that your baby's first words.
Oh, my God. Well, actually, the baby said fuck the other day, so we got to really start watching our mouths. I don't know what happened. I maybe it was me in the car. Maybe it was Courtney. My wife, of course, invented that word, so she owns it, right? Like, that's on her for her potty mouth. But, no, I forget what happened, and she dropped the F-bomb, and all of us, even the older kids, were like, what the fuck, man? So, but I do a fun thing on my Facebook page, if you follow me, about things my wife says. I call it shit my wife says. And that's a very popular thing on my Facebook page, because she just says like really outrageous shit. And so in order to get her back, I'll call her as Borat and leave her messages and shit. And it's just brilliant stuff. But in any event, sir, where are we at now?
Yes.
So it's good to see you again. Good to see the pod squad. What else is going on in the mind of the meanie, man?
Brother, just... like I said, just trying to feel like a human being again. I'm all caught up on the NFL draft, caught up on WWE. What's that?
I was going to say, Tony Khan. Everyone's been talking about the Tony Khan driver with his neck brace. What do you think about that angle? It's very NWO-ish.
What? Very NWO.
What's that?
Very NWO-ish.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, it's very like it's giving me like the Jack Perry and the Elite Takeover is giving me NWO kind of vibes, I feel like. Maybe? I don't know.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I try not to bury things because I want all wrestling to be good, but it's just so bad. It's just so bad. The whole angle with, you know, You know, you punch Tony in the stomach with a microphone instead of doubling over in pain. He falls to his back. It takes a back bump and just, you know, the whole scapegoat thing. It's like, really? Just,
yeah.
And I there's somehow, you know, I saw people try saying, oh, Jack Perry could be a babyface. I was like, there's no way he could call himself the scapegoat and be a babyface. You know, just,
yeah.
The whole thing, like, if you want to be a true heel, talk about how everything's not your fault and you're the victim, kind of thing. So yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad. And it's unfortunate because I like everybody involved.
Yeah.
It just, I can't watch. I can't. I miss when Wednesdays was like, let me see, tune in and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Wednesday comes on, you know, Wednesday rolls around. I was like, let me play solitaire on my computer. let me see what's on YouTube. Oh, are the Phillies playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there football on? Yeah. It sucks, man. It sucks because, like, and I agree with your booking analysis there, because they could have really copied from anything, right? Like with Jack Perry, I feel like Jack Perry still got to be the heel coming in. But it could have been done, like, they literally could have just lifted the Drew McIntyre angle and placed that in with Jack, right? I did this for you. Like, what do you mean? I'm not the bad guy. Here he is. And you guys, you know, like, that's a really, for me, anyway, and it sounds like you too, that's a really compelling storyline. I didn't do this for me. Yeah. I did this for you guys, and you guys turned your back on me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I watched the thing where, you know, they talked in the ring, they hit Tony with the microphone, and instead of doubling over, he fell to his back, and then they helped him up and hit him with the fucking Meltzer driver. And it's just like, and then, you know, Shad Khan comes in. I was waiting for Shad Khan to go, do it one more time. Do it one more time. You know, just... And then he goes on the draft, and he says some controversial things that I don't even want to.
Yeah, we're just going to skip right by that. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not going to. Bad enough he mentioned it, but it, like, with the, he calls WWE the Harvey Weinstein of wrestling, which really is detrimental to, you're bringing back up something that re-victimizes the victims of Harvey Weinstein.
Agreed, 100%.
And the guy that was the cause of all those bad things in WWE is gone.
Right.
So you're going to tell me that Sami Zayn is Harvey Weinstein? You're going to tell me Bayley is Harvey Weinstein? You're going to tell me all these good folks at WWE that are there doing good things, they're Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just... And you say you're the Pepsi of wrestling, which is... CM Punk's favorite drink, because he's got a tattoo of Pepsi on his arm.
Yeah, it's like, but also to the comparison, it's like, and it's just, I promise we'll move on from after this, because we don't really want to comment on it, but like, it's just, these two things are not like the other. Like, it would have been a more meaningful comparison if it was like soft drinks or, you know, fast food or something, restaurants, like,
you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was okay. I was just thinking, like, say you're the fucking LeBec Finn of wrestling, as opposed to, you know, WWE's McDonald's. Like, okay, there's a great comparison that's fun and not hurting anybody. Like, just...
Tony had the perfect thing going on when he said they were like the AFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AFL was the challenger brand to the NFL, and then eventually they merged. If he would have just stuck with, you know, we're the AFL of professional wrestling to WWE's NFL, and hopefully one day we catch up to him, you know, and... When it comes to certain things like that, you want to punch up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just like,
You
know, just... things he said were needless and only just caused more harm to the people who are the victims of the Weinstein thing, to be used as a cheap gotcha line to degrade your competition. You know, it wasn't cool.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
how I think. Do you use sexual assault as a gotcha against a company that had got rid of their guy who was, who's been, you know, alleged to have done certain things. They've gotten rid of that guy, you know, it's just.
Right. And he's currently under investigation for that too. Like, and it's right. going through the legal processes and shit. Like I just,
right.
you know, and like you said, to your point, it's the idea, the fact that you're calling people like Bayley or Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, like all of these people that work there that had nothing to do with this. I it's just, I don't know.
And good luck getting future talent.
Right.
You just insulted a whole company from Paul Levesque down to the talent.
Just it's
the only way somebody goes there now is just, you know, I'm here for the money.
Yeah. Yeah. If that were me, for sure. And it sounds like that's where you were at too. It's like that were me. If I'm somebody working in town, I'd be like, fuck that. Like, why would I go here? You know, I don't know. But
the boys talk.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's going on in AEW, I'm sure people in WWE know, because wrestlers are like little old ladies in a hair salon. They're all talking, you know, so.
Yeah. It's a shame. I feel like they had a lot of goodwill coming out of that angle. You know, at first I was like, I'm kind of intrigued.
They had so much goodwill when they started.
Yeah.
Because this was going to be something new, something fresh. You know, WWE sucked.
Yeah.
You know, and now WWE got rid of Vince and now they're better.
Yeah. Objectively better. And again, like, if you're listening to this, just to be clear, because I always like to say this and preface this, but like, Meanie and I want everybody to succeed. We want everybody to keep their jobs. We want everybody to do well. But like, sometimes you have to call it what it is and say, like, this just isn't good. It's not for me. At first, like, I thought it was, I was like, oh, I'm kind of intrigued by this. I want to see where it goes. I kind of, you know, they're working on this formula. And then I went back and I was like, maybe not. Like, maybe I didn't enjoy this as much as I did the first time I watched it. Maybe I was like, maybe I missed something. Maybe the execution wasn't there. And now Kenny Omega is involved. He's back, and they kind of kicked him out of the Elite. I don't know. It's
kind of like when you get a new girlfriend. You know, you're banging your new girlfriend, and she's the best in the world. And then year goes by, and you go, oh man, she's got a little fur on her lip.
Man,
that one toe sticks out a little bit further than the big toe.
Uh-huh.
And then you start noticing, you know, the faults.
Yeah.
AEW comes out, they're the new girlfriend. They're, oh, I love this girlfriend. I'm going to fuck the shit out of AEW. I'm going to cuddle with AEW. I'm going to kiss it right on the mouth.
Yep.
I'm going to, come here, AEW.
Should that be the name of the show? I'm going to fuck the shit out of AEW.
No,
obviously. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No,
but but you know, now that, you know, 5 years is around, you're like, oh, this thing again. You're mm-hmm. still here.
Yeah.
I hate when you fart in your sleep. I hate that you chew with your mouth open.
Mm.
Fat fuck.
It's unfortunate. Like I said, I really think there's a lot that needs to be done in order for them to get back where they should be, where I think they can be too. But
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
They've become the thing AEW's become the thing Tony Khan said it would never become, and it's become WCW towards the end.
Yeah, honestly, that's a great comparison. It really feels like WCW. Like,
it's unfortunate.
Russo at the very end there, right? And it sucks because I think, it's a lot of people are working there. A lot of good people work for that company, and we...
Excellent people who work in the ring and behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
AEW. I want AEW to be the best in the world.
Absolutely. And as a pivot point here, sir, another thing that I believe, besides Cousin Phil, is the best in the world... is a question that I ask you, which is my favorite question in the world.
Oh.
Are you ready to ask Meanie?
I would love to.
It's time to ask Meanie anyway.
Ask me something!
Yo, cause.
This is a drizzling shit.
Don't forget to tweet your questions. I didn't mean to put that one. I meant to hit Pierce. But don't forget to tweet us your questions using the hashtag AskMeanie, and you may hear them on the program. I got one here from the Pod Squad. also.
Our
seltzers. And also, too, I would be remiss.
Thirsty, you prick.
I'd be remiss not to mention this either. Lucha, one of our Pod Squad members, mentioned in the chat here that he recently rocked his BWO Japan shirt to an event, and Mustafa Ali said that he won best t-shirt of the night. So we want to thank you.
Tremendous. Thank you for your support, sir, and thank you for representing.
That's right. And we appreciate you. And friend of the show, Mustafa Ali, we appreciate you, sir.
Yes.
And we thank you for the acknowledgement, sir. What do you got today? Looks like you got something different this afternoon.
Yes. If you're from Philly and you shop at ShopRite, they have their own like brand of products, food, drink, called Bowl and Basket.
Mm.
You know, instead of, you know, the generic whatever, it just says cereal, plates. You know, it's Bowl and Basket brand now. So this is a Bowl and Basket ginger seltzer.
That looks
and
good.
It says ginger, but deep down inside, it kind of tastes like buttered popcorn.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. I like to pretend it's buttered popcorn.
That sounds like my kind of
fat.
That sounds like my kind of party right there. This week I have another knockoff drink from Aldi, the knockoff sparkling ice shit. It's a pink grapefruit, which is actually my favorite flavor, so I try to stock up where I can. Let's crack these bitches. What's up?
By the way, I fucking stink. It stinks in here. It smells so bad.
What, did you gas yourself out again?
I'm afraid to stand up. I'm going to need a tea kettle to take my fucking underwear off. I'm going to need a tea kettle to peel off my underwear like I'm reading the neighbor's mail. It's just like, what the fuck?
Just standing up like, oops, a shit.
No. Oops, all poop. Done shit myself.
Sorry, Tracy. Shit myself. I don't know what happened. I don't even remember it.
Oops, all dingleberries.
Oh, my God.
I'm blasting my fucking underwear like it's a confetti cannon. It's fucking... I'm t-shirt cannoning air turds into my fucking underwear. My underwear is going to look like a fucking hanky from one of those smoker toothpaste fucking commercials. Was that the Topol fucking toothpaste? This is your teeth, you know, before the Topol.
Oh my God. That is fucking ridiculous. That is hilarious.
It smells in here. God. It smells really bad. I'm ashamed.
I'm so disappointed in myself. Yeah.
The fact that nobody can smell it. I can smell it. You can't smell it, but no. I have to talk about my shame.
God.
It smells like hot sick in here. It's like
hot sick.
Hot sick.
Oh my God. I know what it's that like I know. I understand that reference too. Like it just
it smells like Broad and Snyder in here.
That is so specific.
It smells like fucking Broad and Snyder in my fucking bedroom.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Somebody's making Sunday gravy with blood. And the meatballs are poop.
Oh my God. Broad and Snyder. I'm never going to be able to drive past there and not think about that.
Just think about my
roll down ass. Roll down the window and just immediately gag.
Yankee Candles won't make that fucking sound. Would fucking explode.
Could you imagine if they made a fucking fart candle like that? If they just like grabbed the essence of that smell? God.
I wish they did.
I'm gagging thinking about it.
Skanky candles.
Yeah. Just call it shit. That's it. You don't need any fluff on there. Just shit.
Shit. Yeah.
God. Oh, all right. Let me crack this here. Let's Sandman these. 3, 2, 1. Oh, God. Now that is a positive smell.
That's the sound of me taking my underwear.
Oh, my God. Just turn a shower. I'll let the steam just get crazy in there. Just ripping them off.
Did you ever see a dog take a shit in the snow? Like right before the poop comes out of a dog's ass, that little bit of steam comes out. And it kind of looks like a space shuttle launch. Where it's like 5, 4, 3,
oh,
2,
my God.
1, lift off.
Oh, my God. That is... Oh, fuck, dude. Sorry, Carl. That is the most... Like, it's... Like, I love when you do that because it's so specific and it's such a visual. Like, it's just, like, I know exactly what you're referencing.
Watching a dog take his shit in the snow.
Oh, my God. I'm trying not to laugh and choke on my seltzer here at the same time. All right. We got a couple questions here. Actually, we got one from Nate Smythe, Sheridan Ford Sales. What Woo-hoo. Up, my dude? Meanie, what is the furthest you've ever driven to wrestle in a match? And do you remember who it was?
It must have been. I drove from New Jersey to New Orleans for ECW.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was like a full, almost 24-hour drive. Oof. Yeah, well, I mean, we to be fair, it was me, Nova, the sound guy, Randy, all driving down to Louisiana. It was like New Orleans and I forget where else.
There and, she is.
Yeah. And, we drove halfway down and stopped like right outside Atlanta and got some sleep and woke up the next day and drove the rest of the way to New Orleans. I think it was Shreveport, you know, but then we drove straight home. It's like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
We left at like 3 a.m. and we didn't get home till like 3 a.m. the next day. Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
But that would easily... That would probably the easiest, you know, I've driven for booking, you know.
David from Quakertown wants to know, with the successful night that you had with Meanie Mania while WrestleMania was in Philly, are you planning to do another Meanie Mania next year during WrestleMania season?
It would be hard to do in Philly. It was easier to do while, you know, the whole world was in Philly for WrestleMania. You know, everybody, all of the wrestling world was in Philly for Mania. And next year, whenever they decide to announce it,
yeah,
which it looks like it's going to be Vegas.
Yeah.
The whole wrestling world is going to be there. So to plan it in Philly, you know, you want to do Meanie Mania wherever Mania is going to be.
Yep.
So that would involve me having to go to wherever that is. So, but... You know, if next time they come back, sure. You know, it would just be hard to do in Philly while everybody's not in Philly. They're wherever that is. Yeah. It was easier to do since it was here and everybody was in town. And, you know, fuck, Jerry Lynn stopped by.
Yeah.
The FBI stopped by. Braun Strowman came in. Fucking Al Snow came by. You know, Kyle Hero, you know, the fanny pack kid came in. Megaran came, you know.
Yeah.
Just so many good people came because they were in town for Mania. So it was, if Mania were to come back, yeah, maybe. Well, if Mania comes back to Philly, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, I was telling Doug from McCusker's, I was like, you know, Philly's trying to get Mania back as soon as possible. He's like, Mania Mania too. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah, dude. I hope they do. I hope they push it if they're going to do Mania or if they're going to do WrestleMania in Philly again. I hope they do it in May so it's a little bit warmer out here for everybody. And that would be.
Hopefully they bring a SummerSlam.
Oh, that would be fucking dope too, man. That would be really great to have them do a SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Here. Now that they're doing stadiums.
Yeah.
For SummerSlams. Have a SummerSlam block party. You know,
yeah.
That'd be fucking amazing. It'd be nice and warm. Yeah. You know, you could just, you know, we could have a Meanie Slam or whatever.
Yeah.
Just
be super easy to do. Do it at Citizens Bank Park. It would be super easy to do outside. There's a sort of a double question here. One, it's part of Matt from Dover's question and part Vanessa from the Pod Squad. Vanessa mentioned that there are two new pre-ordered figures for the Sandman coming from Mattel in their Elite line. And also the Sandman's Dark Side of the Ring episode, I believe, just recently released.
Last night. As of this recording.
Yeah. Any fun Sandman stories to share? And did you get a chance to watch the episode?
I'm going to watch it probably tonight. And I'll say this without having seen the episode. No matter what they say, it's probably tamer than anything, you know, Sandman's done. You know, just and there's a story I know of that I don't even think Sandman remembers. And I wasn't in ECW at the time, but, like, I've heard this story where ECW was running, like, some kind of strip club, and he needed to go find a place to do his entrance through the crowd. Like, he always finds a spot. Other than the entranceway, like opposite side of the building. And somebody's like, all right, you're going to go up this flight of steps. You're going to walk down this hall. You're going to say, you're going to see so-and-so. Say hi to so-and-so when you pass. And then go down the steps. And the so he goes upstairs, you know, walks down the hall. There's the so-and-so. He says hi to so-and-so. I can't think of the name. Goes down the other set of steps to be on the opposite side. Does his entrance. And somebody's like, did you say hi to so-and-so? He's like, yeah. Well, yeah, so-and-so is a ghost. So the person that he had to walk by to say hello to used to be the house mom for the strip club who still resided in the strip club. And I've heard this story from people in ECW. I think I might have talked this hack about it back in the day, but like Hack's memory is scorched earth, right? That's so he remembers stuff, but I'll bring up the stuff. And he goes, I don't know. But yeah, you know, ECW ran in like a haunted strip club. Yeah, and it was just like the house mom that used to live there who passed away, who still occupied the strip club, you know?
What?
And also, I'll say this. Do you ever have like somebody you know if you do a certain thing, they're going to react a certain way?
Yes.
So anytime I'm around Sandman, I know if I start singing Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, that he will join in and finish the song.
Really?
Like very Pavlovian? Pavlovian? Just like, winding my way down a Baker Street. You guys, ow! And it was, you know, that would be like, because like the horn section in Baker Street's like fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So.
You can actually.
That's a me and Sandman thing. That's a me and Sandman thing. One night I heard him singing Baker Street in the locker room. So like, the next you can't do it right away. You gotta wait. Let it dissipate because then like he'll pick up on what you're doing. So like maybe a couple of months go by and I'm standing there and like we're at the we'll be at the monitor or we're both checking out the lineup sheet. You know, like seeing what matches. I'll be like. Winding my way down on Baker Street. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Me and Sandman, you know, jam out to some yacht rock, you know?
That's amazing, dude. You can actually blend, you can blend those two worlds together, Sandman and Howard Stern, by singing the saxophone part as ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo-ee.
Yeah.
Every time.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo-ee.
Every time I hear that song.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo-ee.
At the top of my lungs, too. Sal,
I can't wait
has,
to watch that.
Sal has ruined that fucking song for me forever. So,
fucking, I know, like, I had people texting me, like, screenshots. I know I'm in it.
Oh, cool.
Like, they didn't interview me for it.
Right.
But, like, I was, you know, being a part of, you know, Raven versus Sandman and all that stuff. And I know I'm in it. They didn't interview me for it, which I'm kind of bummed because, hey, you're both in Philly. But, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward to watch it.
Looking forward to seeing it. It's on the DVR.
And I'll say this about Dark Side of the Ring, too. You know, people give Dark Side of the Ring shit. They're called Dark Side of the Ring, and all they do is... What's the difference between Dark Side of the Ring and A&E biography, WWE Legends? The names of the show.
Yeah.
You know, both shows talk about wrestling personalities. They talk about the downturn in their career. And they, you know, and, you know, lately, Dark Side of the Ring has done a really good job of putting a bow on the ending of the show. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, even like, you know, as hard of a topic as Benoit was, the fact that they brought, you know, his son David and Nancy's sister together to reunite was a touching moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like, like, you know, Dark Side has been like doing a really good job with like putting a neat little bow on like tough subjects.
Yeah.
But the only difference between Dark Side of the Ring and A&E biography is the name of the show, and the one just happens to be called Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
Just because it's a play on Dark Side of the Moon.
Right.
Which, you know, the Pink Floyd song. But, you know, that just annoys me. It's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing with Dark Side of the Ring is I wish it was an hour and a half instead of an hour.
Oh,
that's about it.
Yeah, like there's stuff in a lot of those stories that they can't even work in. But to your point, like A&E biography just did a whole spot on the British Bulldog. If anybody deserved, you know, or if any story deserved a Dark Side of the Ring episode, I feel like British Bulldog would be right up in line with that. And it's and I feel like the only difference is that also too, like with Dark Side of the Ring, there's really no involvement from WWE on that regard. Right. So like those, you know, like, but I love the show. I think it's great. I learn a lot about people from the past. Like there was a lot of stuff about Dino Bravo I didn't know. I was always really curious to know what happened to him. There's a lot of the Bruiser Brody episode is just fucking fantastic. And there's
for me, the episode this year on Chris Colt.
Yeah.
That was a guy I had only heard about.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about him. And that Chris Colt episode was fucking fantastic.
Real? I mean, there's,
you know, just
so good. So much good.
And the Dark Side guys are, again, you know, a couple years ago, they worked with The Rock doing a show called Tales from the Territories.
Yeah.
They just announced that Dark Side of the Ring is working with The Rock's $7 Productions to do Who Killed WCW.
Yeah.
Which is going to be like a 4-part episode, which I hope the episodes are long.
Yeah.
I hope those shows need to be in an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to cover the death of WCW. And shout out to Guy Hutchinson's, Guy Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has the book called Nitro. It is detailed. There's like so much shit I never even knew about. So if you're into WCW, look for the Who Killed WCW show and get the Nitro book by Guy Evans.
I had Guy Evans on Foundation Radio in 2021 after the book was released. And I mean, it is... You know, I can't put the book over enough. It is the most in-depth and I think thorough book that's ever been written about. And I would say like the definitive story about what truly happened with Nitro and WCW. And it's just, it's, everything is there because he got it from the source people. The people, like, he got interviews with people that have never spoken publicly about WCW and their time in Time Warner and, excuse me, the AOL mergers and stuff. Like, it's really a phenomenal book. Yes. So if you're not, even if you're, you know, more of a historical fan than a wrestling fan or vice versa, like, it, you should probably read this book. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the Who Killed WCW. I love stories like that. I would love to see them potentially do one about ECW in long form, right? Because there's, I'm sure there's detailed stories that people may not know about. So our last question for the day comes from RJ Krasinski. What's up, RJ? What's good,
What's up, RJ?
And he wants to know, Meanie, what is an ECW pay-per-view or match that you would suggest a new fan watch?
Man. Probably RVD Jerry Lynn from, it was in Poughkeepsie. I forget what the show was. I wasn't in the company at the time, but probably, you know, Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam from Mid-Hudson Civic Center. I can't think of the name of the pay-per-view, but, you know, the first week on the Nashville or the TNN or whatever the fuck it was called at the time, you know, they aired that match in its entirety as a fuck you to TNN because, you know, the TNN didn't like the first week of TV that ECW produced. So they're like, all right, we're just going to put on this match.
Yeah.
Fuck you. But, you know, that would be the match, you know.
I think for me, the one that sticks out to me the most is Taz and Bam Bam when they go through the ring.
Oh,
To me, like, I don't know. I mean, again, I was one of the chosen people, a fan of ECW when it was live and on.
Yeah.
I just, that match, for whatever reason, has always stuck with me as, like, for some reason, the definitive match of ECW era. It just because it, I don't know. I just, it, there, but there was so much good shit on there. There's so many good things. So that would probably be my choice if you were asking me. But they're not asking me. They're asking Meanie. And we want to thank you for asking Meanie these questions each and every week by using the hashtag AskMeanie and dropping them here so we can ask them for you on the show. Meanie, I want to thank you for doing the show. And I'm glad to hear feeling better. And that your voice is back up to par.
Likewise.
Yeah, thank you very much. Where can everybody find and stay up to date with all things blue when they're not listening to the program?
If you would like to follow the Blue Meanie on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Blue Meanie BWO on all forms of social media. To support the Blue Meanie, go to prowrestlingtees.com/Blue Meanie. Support the Mind of the Meanie by going to prowrestlingtees.com/Mind of the Meanie. Colin Elbow, go to Colin Elbow Brand, the wrestling brand. Use coupon code Meanie or use coupon code Mind and save 10% over there at colinelbowbrand.com. Shout out to the guys over there doing an amazing job, Al Snow, and doing an amazing job over there at colinelbowbrand.com. If you're in the Philadelphia area, go to JPT's for your t-shirt printing needs. JPT's is a family-owned business that has been making quality printed t-shirts since 1986. For more information, go to jpts.com. That's the letter J, the letter P, T-E-E-S.com, JPT's. Tell Meanie sent you. Shout out to Josh Thornton over there at madcatbeardcare.com. Get the Blue Spruce Beard Oil and Balm. You know, Josh is doing an amazing job over there. He rounds up all the sick cats in his neighborhood, takes them to the vet, and releases them back better than when he found them. So if you're a cat lover like myself, go to madcatbeercare.com. Get the Blue Spruce Beard Oil and Balm. The Ultra Pro Wrestling video game coming to all major consoles in 2024. Ultra Pro Wrestling contains not only original characters made by the amazing Hal Haney, but many real-world wrestlers, including myself. Go to ultraprowrestling.com or follow them on Twitter at UPW Video Game. That's ultraprowrestling.com or follow them on Twitter at UPW Video Game. The Figure Collection's Bone Crushing Series Wrestlers 1 variants of the Blue Mini are available right now. All Series 1s can be ordered now at shop.figurecollections.com. That's shop.figurecollections.com. Type Blue Mini in the search bar and get regular Blue Mini or BWO Blue Mini. Either way, there are no wrong choices. To have the Blue Mini on your podcast, go to podstars.net. That's podstarz.net. I have an appearance tomorrow morning that got booked through podstars.net. So go on there, register your podcast, book the blue guy, and let's have a conversation over there at podstars.net. Cameo.com/BlueBeanieBWO. Let me start that over. Cameo.com/BlueBeanieBWO for birthdays, holidays, and well wishes. Book through the site. Don't book through the app. The app takes too much of your hard-earned money. So go to cameo.com/BlueBeanieBWO. Let's make somebody's day a little bit bright. I have one to do as soon as I get off of here at cameo.com/BlueMiniBWO. So let's make somebody's day a little bit brighter over there at cameo.com/BlueMiniBWO. But most importantly, Mr. Bernard, where can we find you, sir?
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads. I'm still on Blue Sky and Mastodon, but I never use them, so don't follow me there because I won't see you. But if you follow me anywhere else, you can find me at This Is Goober. Yes, it's my handle. No, I'm not changing it. It's a brand, pal. So check me out there. You can also check out my other show, Foundation Radio, by going to foundationradio.net. Or you can subscribe on YouTube, which is all where all my content is going now. You can check out all of my old interviews. I just updated uploaded our most listened to and downloaded episode of all time. It's an episode all the way back in 2020, before the world shut down. We did a show called Finland Isn't Real, and it's about all the most ridiculous conspiracy theories we could find. We're talking downloads in the tens of thousands. It was one of the most listened to episodes, and because of that, the second largest country that listens to Foundation Radio is, in fact, Finland. So you can go check that out right now at youtube.com/@FoundationRadioPod. Subscribe today and listen to that and everything that's in the archive there. Feinberg Method, use the promo code Goober and save up to 20% off of your entire purchase. My trainer, Brad Feinberg, is ready to help you with your physical and mental well-being. So go to thefeinbergmethod.com. That shout out to the homies at the 10th Ward Barbershop in downtown Lawrenceville, in the outskirts of Pittsburgh, PA, celebrating its 5th anniversary. Congratulations to you all out there. I fucking love you guys. You guys always make me feel like I am home when I come to the shop. And I want to thank you guys for all of your support over the year for everything that I do, including this program and Foundation Radio. We appreciate you very much. Go and log on to their website today. Schedule yourself an appointment with Kane, Jordan, and the rest of the team at 10thWardBarbershop.com. And here's to another 550 years for the squad out there. ProWrestlingTees.com/MindOfTheMeanie. ProWrestlingTees.com/FoundationRadio. Pick up a shirt and keep the lights on at Casa de Meanie and the Barnard Home for Wayward and Troubled Youth. I want to thank you guys here in the Pod Squad today. Join the Pod Squad right now by going to patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. That's patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Tiers start at just $10 a month. So you can come and see us and get some fun perks and get to see our beautiful faces record each and every week, sometimes Thursday, sometimes Friday. We will let you know. Well, we would love to see you here to join us each and every week. Here we go, doing our best RJ City impressions. Shout out to the homie, RJ City. You should see this right now because it's fucking great. We will see you again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Meanie, I want to thank you for being here as always.
Thank you.
For the Blue Meanie, I am Adam Bernard. Join us again each and every week as we take a trip through the mind of the Meanie. Peace.
This episode of Mind of the Meanie is hosted and executively produced by the Blue Meanie and Adam Barnard. It was mixed and engineered by Carl Pinnell. Additional narration is provided by the executive voice, Sam Krepps. That's me.
Our intro music was performed by the Swamp Candles. Our outro music was performed by Chikara. Additional musical accompaniment is performed by Enrichment. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or X or whatever, at Mind of the Meanie, and become part of the Pod Squad by going to patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Find our entire show archive at mindofthemeanie.com. This has been a Butts Carlton Media production. Butts Carlton Proprietor.
Dad, why does Blue Meanie's brain out?